This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Last winter and spring, director Steven Soderbergh shot a film in Detroit. You heard that right, even as the pandemic was ongoing. The film, No Sudden Move, is now out in theaters and on HBO Max. It's a story about an ex-con, played by Don Cheadle, who gets roped into a criminal muscle job that is not exactly what it seems.
What is going on?
What's going on, big guy?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
We're following instructions. Are you helping me or are you not helping me?
No.
Sometimes when people lie, they tend to overexplain.
What made you think that you could trust me?
My guests today are two of the Michigan actors who appeared in the film. Catherine Banks played the role of Dawn Atkinson. She's a veteran of many Michigan productions and also teaches drama at Green Hills Academy in Ann Arbor. We're also speaking with Wallace Bridges, who played the role of Rudy in the film. He's a professor in communications, media, and theater arts at Eastern Michigan University, and he's also a Fulbright scholar. Catherine, Wallace, welcome to Stateside. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Hi, happy to be here.
No Sudden Move opens on a pre-dawn street with Don Cheadle's character, Curtis Goines, walking, and it's interspersed with a series of black and white photos that pop up of folks in the 1950s. And just for the purposes of the story, we'll call them 1950s Detroiters. There's some family pics, black families, white families, kids dressed up for church, young couple and a baby, guys on a union picket line. And it kind of sets up the backdrop for how history, personal history, and history with the capital H are going to play a role in the story. It was really nice. When did you get the call about this film? Catherine, you want to tell first, and then we'll hear from Wallace?
Sure. I can't remember if I originally auditioned back in February or March, but I got my offer letter, I think it was like March 11th of COVID. So 2 days before the world was about to shut down. So I signed off on it and thought, I don't know if this is going to happen. And then it didn't that spring. And I sort of sat around for a couple months with my fingers crossed, hoping that it would happen. Because to get sort of all of those people back in the room together, I wasn't sure if that was going to happen. You know, other people have other projects, things might get postponed, but it did. So I think I got the call, you know, then in September, it's a go. And from there, it was a big rush. I think from the time I got the call in September to the time I was on set, I don't know, maybe it was a week or two, but things happened very quickly once we picked up in the fall.
Wallace, does that timeline sound about right for you too?
Well, I think I must have auditioned for this film beginning around February and repeated auditions. They were pretty much virtual, as I recall. We video recorded ourselves and sent them in. And then the name of the film actually changed from February through about November or so. It had changed from Kill Switch to No Sudden Move. Anyway, I think I got the word that I was cast somewhere around November, probably.
Did you have any worries about trying to do this? I mean, we certainly weren't out of the pandemic when production started in Detroit.
They had a pretty good system in place. I believe I tested twice before I ever came to the shoot. And they had it separated in groups A, B, and C. And so I guess A might have been the actors and C might have been the crew or something like that. I got the impression that they were trying their best to keep people safe.
Yeah. Catherine, how about you? How were you feeling about it?
I mean, I was nervous, but I knew that there was a lot riding on this, right? So the stakes in a big movie done by Warner Brothers and HBO, like they need to get it right. And especially being one of the first films back, I knew that everyone was going to be, it meant a lot for the industry to get this movie up and going. It meant a lot to the industry sort of across the country. So I knew that people would be doing it right. And so because my scenes were actually shot over the course of a couple of weeks, regardless of whether or not I was working, I was in Detroit Monday, Wednesday, Friday, getting a COVID test. And then everything on set was very regulated in terms of masking and social distancing and fogging and wiping things down. It was intense in a way that made me feel really safe once I got there.
Mm-hmm. And they also put me up in a hotel. I don't know about Catherine, but they put me up in a hotel, I believe, 3 days before the shoot. So to sort of quarantine us.
Yes. Yeah. There was a bubble happening at the hotel that I was sort of a part of on and off because, again, my stuff was sort of spread out.
It sounds like Catherine was involved in more scenes than I was. I was a day player and I shot one scene.
Yeah. Part of the fun of settling in for a Steven Soderbergh film is watching the opening credits roll and seeing all those names of the cool artists who we're about to see working together. Don Cheadle, Benicio del Toro, David Harbour, John Hamm, Amy Simons, Kieran Culkin. I mean, I've sometimes thought that Steven Soderbergh should just stop making movies and just throw parties or something. I assume that there's something similar going on with his production and crew choices. Hmm. I mean, he's great at ensembles, but you'd miss it if you weren't looking for it. But the work is a lot more one-on-one on this film. What differences did that mean being on set?
Yes, you know, because of COVID, even though the cast was small, yes, the scenes were smaller. And so the crew was really pared down. We weren't in a studio. Everything was on location in houses, and houses from, that were built in the early 1900s, not these big open floor plans. So everyone's shooting sort of in small rooms and small quarters. So there was a small amount of people there to do a job. And so everything was very, even though we're talking about a huge movie with so many people in it, the scenes themselves were really intimate. And I think that was actually nice. It was able to really make connections with the people that you were in a scene with, because there weren't so many eyes on you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Making a movie with so many ensemble players work can often be about timing and mood. Can you tell us about what you saw the directing team doing? Or, I know you weren't really able to watch everything being shot on set, but things that you were aware of that Soderbergh and the production team did to try to help both those qualities of timing and mood come off as they should. Wallace, did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, we shot our scene in a house in Hamtramck, and it was a very small home, two bedroom, tiny. We were crammed into this this living room, basically, with the crew. So there are just three actors, but there were probably four or five crew members in the space, all kind of like crammed in there. Everything in that house was dated from the 1950s. It was they had cars all up and down the street that were from that period. The costumes from that period. So for me, once I stepped into that house, I felt like, except for the crew, I felt like I was there in the 1950s.
Yeah. Catherine, how about you?
As an actor, several people had sort of given me the heads up working with Steven, that he really lets actors do their own thing. He trusts them to make their own choices, or maybe he just trusts himself to be able to edit it all together at the end. But in terms of performances, there's a lot of freedom. He doesn't really fuss with what you're doing. You know, I think he's really great at getting the right people in the room together and then letting them do their thing. As far as the, you know, setting the mood and the tone and, you know, what was going on the art direction side of things, it was really amazing being in those houses. And all of my scenes were shot in Rosedale Garden, which is a neighborhood on the Northwest side that I know well, right? So I grew up in Redford, and my grandmother basically lived on the other side, for those of you who are from Detroit. And so being there, it just really took me back to that neighborhood. So even though I was growing up there in the 80s and 90s, it made me realize how much of my grandmother's house was still stuck in the 50s and 60s, like the window cranks, the cookie jars, the pictures of kids on neighborhood ponies. It all really was authentic to my childhood and what I knew about the generation before me and what was happening in their houses and their lives. So it was all really wonderfully familiar. So, you know, I'll share, my grandmother would have been my same exact age when I was filming in 1954.
Oh,
and I
wow.
wore her dress. I wore her dress to my audition. So there was a lot about, you know, thinking of pictures of my grandma in 1950s Detroit and, you know, for me channeling that into my performance.
That's amazing. If you're just joining us today, my guests are Catherine Banks and Wallace Bridges, actors who are featured in the new Steven Soderbergh film, No Sudden Move. I want to talk some more about that period and how the film draws on Detroit-specific history, but maybe this is a good moment to just have each of you explain the parts that you played. Wallace, tell us about Rudy.
Right. So Rudy apparently is married to Kurt's old girlfriend, and Kurt returns to see her, Clarice, to pick up the suitcase. And apparently Kurt's history, he just got released from jail, and Rudy does not approve of Kurt, nor does he approve of him coming over to see his wife. So basically, Rudy tolerates Kurt's presence and wants him out of the house as soon as possible.
Right. This is a way of reflecting what, you know, what Kurt's community might make of him at this point in his life. And Catherine, do you want to say a little bit about Don?
Sure. So Don is the best friend of Mary Wirtz, who's sort of the show's leading lady. She is a 1950s housewife, sort of living in the constraints of that time. And throughout the movie, she supports Mary through a very difficult time. And, you know, I don't want to say too much, but we sort of learn about the deep intimacy between these two women as the movie goes on.
How did both of you see this film? Were you able to go to theatrical releases, or did you see it through a link, a screener link?
I saw it at a friend's house on HBO Max.
Like you do these days.
I went to the drive-in event in Dearborn. And so I saw it. Yes. So I saw it with a bunch of other people for the first time, which I usually like to watch when work alone. But I did. I went with my husband. And we saw it on the extra big screen at the drive-in. It was a lovely sort of 50s themed event. So I saw it there, and then I did watch it again at home, which is my preferred method.
Sometimes filmmakers rather famously get things wrong when they put a city to film, and that's especially true of Detroit. How do each of you think that the team did with portraying Detroit in the film? Catherine, could you go first?
Sure. I thought it was great. Having watched it twice now, I personally haven't caught any non sequiturs and being there. Again, I sort of touched on this earlier, but I feel like I was really taken back to my childhood growing up in that area. It was a real treat to sort of be working on my home court. Like, there's so many details in the set dressing that were familiar to me. And I know that it was really important to Steven to actually film in Detroit. They looked at other locations, but he really wanted the authenticity of the city.
Wallace, how about you?
You know, based on historical photos and such from that period and around in and around Detroit, I thought they were right on with their setting, with their costumes.
Some local writers have been laying on the praise to No Sudden Move for getting all those visual qualities true to form. And it really is. It's amazing. The art direction and all aspects of that are really beautiful to watch. But I wonder if there's also something here about how people are with each other in Detroit. I'm thinking of the pretty casual attitude people in the film take toward race, even when they're being casually callous about it. Do either of you have thoughts on that?
Race. You know, the idea of race didn't strike me very hard from this film. It seemed like it was not really about race. So for me, it didn't jump out at me. I did not see the film as a film that dealt with race.
It examines a period in Detroit history when, I'm not going to say the playing field had been leveled, but, you know, the city's communities were on a different footing because of the prosperity that the auto industry had created in Detroit in a way that maybe they hadn't been before.
You know, there's I think there is a practicality to folks from the Midwest that's particularly heightened in Detroit. And so, you know, as the film sort of touches on the leveling of the Black Bottom and Paradise Valley neighborhoods, right? These thriving middle-class Black neighborhoods that in the film, I forget the exact year, but I think one has already been raised and one's about to be. When you hear characters talk about it, there's a very matter of factness to it, right? There's a sadness and an anger that's bubbling underneath and maybe motivating folks to take the next step. But you're right, you don't see a lot of explosive reactions. There's a lot of matter of fact talking about things the way that they are.
Yeah. Can I ask both of you just how you've been able to put things together for yourselves during the pandemic? You both do a lot more than just act, but I'm just wondering what kind of year it's been like for you in terms of the parts of your work where you need to be with others. Catherine, do you want to go first? And then I'm curious, Wallace, how you'd answer that too.
Sure. You know, I think a lot of my answer will echo most people, right? So I'm an actor and a teacher and a parent. And I have been stretched to do work at home that I never thought could be done at home, and finding new ways of connecting with folks online. And also when we're called to be together with this film or, you know, other small projects I've had coming into the studio, I think people figure out how to do it safely, because we're so hungry now, right? We're so sort of starved to be in the same room together that I think people are doing what they need to do to be safe. So we can, you know, artists want to get back in the room together. And so they're taking all of the safety precautions very seriously.
Wallace, how about you? I know that a lot of what you've been immersed in most recently hasn't really been dependent on production companies or stage work per se, but it's been such a weird year for everybody. What's it been like for you?
Yeah, pretty much at home, nearly 24 hours a day. I was teaching in March of 2020 on campus, and of course we moved online. And I have been teaching online since 1998, so that was not a big adjustment for me, but it was for some students, especially in light of the restrictions and the shutdowns and that, where I was starting to see that there were some students, the second that we went into the lockdown, or like a week within we went into the lockdown, there were a handful of students who I noticed that they were sort of not able to cope with that. You know, their work failed and they were just having difficulty. Me personally, I like to be around people. Yeah, I like to talk, like to hang out and all that. So that was very limited. And I've been working on this documentary, and frankly, my wife got tired of hearing about that. Because she was the only one I could talk to, right? And so she got tired of hearing about that.
I want to thank you both so much for telling us about your year. We've been talking today with Wallace Bridges. He is featured in the new film No Sudden Move as Rudy, and Catherine Banks is in the film too as Dawn Adkinson. Wallace, Catherine, it's a pleasure. Hope your year this year has a lot more opportunities to be in person.
Thank you.
Thank you.